Good to see everybody with us tonight. And I always think it's appropriate to kind of talk about what kind of encouraged me to present this lesson. You know, I think in our culture today, there's a lot of things that influence the church, to the negative and sometimes to the positive. But so many times to the negative, and I think this is one of the things that we need to be careful of. You know, as we get into the lesson tonight, that in our society there's a lot of things that are going on and a lot of trains of thought. And I think this is one of the trains of thought that infiltrate the church and really were, maybe not all of us, but I know I'm guilty of it. So, you know, some things that we'll kind of talk about tonight. And I'll make my apologies now. We're going to get a little political. How's that? So, where do I go here? Up? Nope. Other way. What do you think? Yes? Yeah. We do think, don't we? So that's what I've titled my lesson tonight. What do you think? So we'll get into some different situations within Scripture and different things that actually happen. So I'd like to go through some scenarios about just what we think. So scenario number one, so what do you think? Guy was driving down the street, kind of late in the afternoon, there weren't too many people on the road, and he runs a stop sign. And a policeman pulls him over, you know, does a normal thing. He says, "What's the deal?" And the guy says, "Well, I'm late for my son's graduation. And there was nobody there, so I figured I'd run the stop sign." So what do you think? Is that okay? If you were the policeman, were you cutting some slack? So what do you think? What's the standard? There's a standard when it comes to that. Like Larry said, where he is, he's in the back. He broke the law. So it shouldn't come down to what we think about it. There is a standard. But now let's take that a little different. This one will probably be a little more difficult for you. A little bit on the political slant. Scenario number two. If you don't know, but you probably do know, within our culture today, we have a lot of things happening with right to bear arms and those kind of things. You know, there's an argument going on right now that if you are put on the FBI watch list, that you can't go out and purchase a gun. So in other words, it might be one FBI agent that might say, "Hey, you know, Randy Bell, boy, he's got a lot of ammunition. He's got a lot of weapons. I wonder if we ought to put him on a watch list." And because of that, you know, if I'm on that watch list, it's not legal, quote unquote, for me to go buy a gun. Probably heard that one. We have that happening in our community in Nevada because there's a thing. What's the standard? I have a right, according to the Second Amendment, to go out and purchase a gun. And the government can't take that away from me unless I go through the process of being, you know, with a judge and a jury or whatever, be considered that I'm a threat to society. There's a standard that even that FBI agent cannot impose upon me. You know, that's probably, you probably know the argument. Because I have rights. There's a standard. Our Constitution is a standard. How can they take that away from me by just one person arbitrarily saying, you know, Randy's got a lot of ammunition, a lot of guns. So where'd you fall on that one? What'd you think about that one? So since we can maybe rationalize one way or the other, is it okay to go against the standard? Scenario number three. We've heard it way too many times. I don't need to be baptized to be saved. You ever heard that one? What do you think? It's pretty easy, I think, to make some real black and white, you know, conclusions on these, but do we fall into some of this train of thought? Yes. Yeah, we do. Do I? Yes. Do I do that? Are there things like that person that says, you know, I don't need to be baptized to be saved? The question is, you probably know it by now, what's the standard? Does it really matter what I think? I'd say no. Doesn't matter what I think. There's a standard outside of myself. I can agree with it, and that'd be good. But I'm not the standard. You're not the standard. Right? Do we make our... Well, let's hit a couple points here. Is what we think the standard? No. Unless it agrees with the standard, so then we're just agreeing with it. But it doesn't come down to what I think. Or can we say this? Do our opinions make things correct? It's my opinion, you know, that somebody, you know, that has got all the ammunition, the weaponry that this certain individual, or you can say me, Randy Bell, has, that we ought to put him on the watch list and we ought to make it to where he can't buy anymore. Does that make it correct? Somebody's opinion. No. So let's look at some things in the scripture. Notice with everything will be on slides. Well, not everything at the end. There's some more. So here's an example of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 43. I know we're kind of breaking the context, but you'll pick up the point. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think? Catch that? What do you think about the Christ of the Messiah? Think about that for a second. Here the Messiah is asking the Pharisees, what do you think about me? Whose son is he? That's Jesus' question. And they said to him, the son of David. Was that the truth? In a way, yeah, because the whole idea of David, but just because Jesus is asking them, what do you think, doesn't mean that their response is going to be absolutely 100% correct. And that's what he shows them. If you go down through that text. So just because we might think something, or I might think something, or any of us might have an opinion one way or the other, does that make it correct? No. You know, that's pretty easy to think about. But then what about when it comes about when we start making some application? So we understand, and this is, you know, everybody knows this, but just as a reminder, there's some things that we need to review a little bit. In Jeremiah 10:23, we know that the scripture teaches, I know, O Lord, that man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. It's not in me to understand God's way. So if I say, well, in my opinion, or I think, and those kind of things, does that carry any weight? Only if it coincides with the Word, but not out of me. Isn't that right? We know other passages in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, picking up our reading in verse 5. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not, here's the point, do not lean on your own understanding. What does that look like? What would it look like in my life if I was leaning upon my own understanding? What does it look like in your life? I want you to think a little bit tonight because I'm going to leave it kind of open-ended for you to think about some things, how you can apply this to your life, how I can apply it to my life. Are there times in my life to where I lean upon my own understanding instead of God's? I think there is. I'll give you one I thought about for myself. Shame on me, I'm going to step on my toes first. Typically, and for whatever reason, and I thought about it, I thought, you know, why in the world am I doing this? When I drive down the freeway and I set my cruise control, you guys do that? What do you set it on? I don't know, Joanna's got an answer. What do you set it on? I typically, for some strange reason, set it about 2 or 3 miles per hour over the speed limit. Why? I don't know. I can't answer that. Isn't that right, Terry? You ever notice that? Sarah probably noticed. But that's what I typically do. For what reason? I think a few years ago I had a different truck and had different tires and I figured it out that actually doing the speed limit was a little bit over and I've gotten that habit and shame on me. Am I leaning on my own understanding? Oh, God's gonna cut me some slack. It's okay if I just speed a little bit. If I speed a lot, I'm in trouble. If I speed a little, I'm not in trouble. Isn't that our own understanding? And I'm sure you have things in your life you just kind of kick back and say, you know, why, you know, think about it. Why would I do that? The passage goes on, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Notice verse 7, and do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Am I to the point where I'm wise in my own eyes? Oh, it's okay. I'll just, you know, a little bit of speeding is okay, but a lot's not. Isn't that just my own opinion? That's what I think. And we can apply this in so many ways. But I think we need to apply it. Because in our culture, you know, that so many things come down to different individuals saying, well, this is my opinion and this is what I think. And your opinion isn't any greater than mine or whatever, but there's no standard to that opinion. The standard to that opinion is themselves. Just like the standard to the opinion of the FBI agent saying, you know, Randy should be on the watch list is his own opinion. It doesn't coincide with the standard, which is our Constitution. So a little sidebar, I almost had to threaten my fellow buddy here, Mike, this morning because he was thinking about preaching kind of on the topic that I want to address. So I only use one passage that I want to use tonight, and it's Joshua chapter 1. So I didn't have to beat him up, so, you know, so it's a good thing. In Joshua chapter 1, notice, there's reference this morning, but it says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. But notice what it says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Is that what we do? Be careful to do according to the law. And we can make application right to the New Testament, whatever it is. God's law. God's law says that I need to abide by the, in regards to the physical government that we have. There's laws on the books that says the speed limit is whatever's posted. If I go over that, am I breaking that law? Yes. Is there a good reason for that law? Surely, if everybody was doing, you know, 110 miles an hour, going down through a section where kids are, whatever, it would be, you know, it's not good for the common good. But notice, to be careful, do we consider that in our lives? I don't enough. Do you? Are you careful to do according to law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you? Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Don't stray from doing according to the law, so that you may have success whatever you do. Notice verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may, here it is again, be careful to do according to all that is written in it. How careful are we? Or do we say, well, in my opinion, God's not going to be really upset with me if I go 3 miles over the speed limit? Breaking the law. You know, are we making distinctions that God never made? So we as Christians typically will kind of cringe at the idea when people say, well, it's a little white lie. Big lie is bad, little white lies aren't so bad. We kind of cringe at that. Oh, no, a lie is a lie. The speed limit's the speed limit. Isn't it? Whose wisdom's behind that, saying, oh, it's okay if I go 3 miles over the speed limit? Now, I don't want you guys to follow me home now. I'll Terry drive. But isn't that right? Don't we do that in our lives? Don't we do that little things? I'm too busy, we'll talk about that. I'm too busy to do a certain thing that I know the Lord requires of me. Do we make those kind of judgments in our lives? I know God wants me to study His Bible, but you know, pretty busy guy, I got a family, whatever. You know, you can just, there's so many applications, I think it's just a concept that I think sadly is within our culture and it's within our church. And we know, oops, that shouldn't be there. There it is. That's the one I wanted to hit first. We know in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, it says, all scripture is inspired by God. Notice, it's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. How do we get to that point of that every good work? It's within the scripture. I have to agree with that. I can't be going off on my own opinions. Or, well, I think it'd be okay if I'm just throwing out ideas. Since my family's in town, that I attend Sunday morning services and I don't attend Sunday night. What's the difference? There we go with the I thinks. Right? Or I think, and we would cringe over this, I think we ought to partake the Lord's Supper once a month, because if we partake of it every week, it gets to be pretty common. So I'll partake of it once a month. You cringe over that. I think I don't have to encourage the brethren. That's the elder's job. When it's commanded for all of us. Right? There's so many things that we can make some application to. I think as Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, they were to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. I think, you know, since for whatever reason, I, you know, can't get out much, that I don't need to do that. I don't need to help my brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you know of anybody that might be faint-hearted? Do you have any members that are faint-hearted? You know anybody that way? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14 commands us to encourage them. Commands us to. But I think I'm not too good at talking to other people, so I don't know if I should do that. Do you know people that are weak? The same passage just teaches us what? To help them. It's not a matter, if we get into the idea, well, I think this or my opinion is or whatever, and we throw all these things out the window, then aren't we doing the same thing than the guy that says, I don't think we need to be baptized to be saved? What's the difference? I'm going to abide by one commandment, one example, but I'm not going to abide by the other? You know, we have an evangelist coming here to talk with us about the work here. Denny's coming. He's flying in on Friday. We're going to have a get-together Friday evening so that we can get to know him. He's preaching Saturday night. He's preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Lord willing. What do we expect of him? Do we expect of him to teach his opinions? Have you ever heard a lesson of opinions? I haven't heard a number of them. Isn't that right? Don't you hear those a lot? Right? What does 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 say? Preach the word. I remember, you probably heard the story, I'm going to say it again. Terry and I, years ago, we went to this congregation in this other state, so you can't get any hints of where it is. Other state, way far away, way far away. I think we're on our honeymoon, weren't we? Might have been, that might give you... Anyway, went to this congregation, come in, sit down. The young evangelist, because they had two of them, gets up and preaches. Well, I shouldn't say that. Gets up and tells a story about how he had just returned from his vacation. You heard me tell this story before? So he's telling everybody about his vacation. Yeah, we went to, you know, Aunt Martha's and we had fried chicken and, you know, da da da. And then we went over here and we went over here and went over here. We heard a whole synopsis of his vacation. And at the end he said, repent and be baptized. We stood up and sung. Evangelist just preached the word. He didn't do that. I heard a story. Right? How many times is an evangelist, and we need to be careful with this, or Bible class teacher, or us, if we're talking to our neighbors and our friends, well, I think this, and I think this, and I think this. Are we showing them in the Word of God where we should be standing? Are we directing them to the standard? I think that's another reason why a lot of us are somewhat afraid or intimidated to teach our neighbors and our friends. Because we tell them, well, you know, I believe that you need to be baptized to be saved, but we don't show them the standards so that when they reject that, they're rejecting your comments instead of the standard. Show them the standard. And if they reject that, it's not a rejecting of you. But you know and I know that I've heard in this pulpit and other pulpits, you know, a lot of opinions. That's not what an evangelist should do. As we consider Denny to come and work with us this next week, let's consider that. Are we going to hear opinions? Are we going to hear him preaching the word? If we're hearing opinions, you know, we should address that. To be blunt, I don't care what you think. What does the Bible teach? Isn't that right? And if he says, well, it teaches, you know, this here, then that's fine. But, you know, I'm still looking for that book in my Bible, First Opinions. But a lot of people use it, and so do I. And I need to be careful not to do that. I need to realize the Scripture is going to do what? It's going to make a person adequate, equipped for every good work. So I need to stick to that. Oops. Let me find that. And then in Revelation chapter 22, another well-known passage, it says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, probably referring to the book of Revelation, but we can make some broader application. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which were written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part in the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. There's a warning. Are we doing that? Are we adding to God's word? You know, we have that happening quite often. We have that happening within our friends. We have that happening with some of the material that we're reading. Do you use certain material that you're reading and study from? I do. There's a certain individual that I really, really, really don't appreciate at times. How's that? And I also appreciate him a lot. And you probably have it, a lot of people have the Bibles with Spyros Zodhiatis. He's that Greek scholar. So he really goes into some neat Greek stuff. You know, I've studied some of his stuff. But study him on baptism necessary for salvation. He doesn't believe in it. And he comes up with this wild argument about it. That's what he thinks. Right? So there might be some people that, you know, you might have some confidence in that teach certain things, but be careful. The standard is still the Word of God. It doesn't matter what people say. Make sure that it coincides with the Word of God. So how about some other application in our lives? What about, we talked this morning about different tasks, if you will, that we can do for this congregation, for the work here, and it's great. Thank you so much. I think we had 15 of them, didn't we, Scott? And you know how many we have left? Zero. They're all taken care of. That's great. But that's what we do. That's what we should do. We should be serving one another. We should be that congregation to where, you know, we've quoted so many times in Ephesians, to where every joint supplies. We all supply to the working of this congregation. But if you're not supplying, why not? Because I know what the Bible teaches. So if you come up to me and say, well, I just don't think that I'm necessary. Or I don't think that I can do such and such. Well, sure, there's things that I can't do. You know, the older I get, there's less and less, you know. But there's still work that we can all do. Are we all participating with that? In James 1 and verse 27, you probably know it. This is pure and undefiled religion, side of God our Father, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained. Are we visiting the orphans and the widows? It's commanded. Fascinating word study. That word visit means to actually make eye contact with. That was the idea back then. Do we kind of shuffle that underneath the rug and say, well, I don't need to make eye contact. I'll just send them a note. I think notes are great. Letters are great. But is that really fulfilling the intent of that command? We need to, do we have any orphans in this congregation? Yeah. A little different scenario now. Do we have any widows? Yeah. Widowers? Yeah. It shows us that there's, you know, as Scott mentioned this morning, you know, people sometimes say, what can I do? You know, there's just, I mean, you can go through the directory and start with A, you know, and say, what does that person need? You know that we all have needs. You know, I used to be the first person in the directory, and then Solomon came along. Somebody would start on me. That was a good thing. Now I'm second. You know what I mean? But you can go right through the directory, and you know that every one of us have certain needs in our lives. Are we willing to do what we talked about in Galatians 6 and verse 10? Do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Let's get out there and do it. Let's not come up with excuses, the I thinks. So where are you? Pretty basic lesson, but I think it's one that's timely and needful all the time for me. When I was thinking about this, that concept of me in that 2 or 3 miles over the speed limit came up, and I said, you know, I gotta change. So what part in your life do you need to change? I know there's something. Change it. Put God first. It's part of putting God first. Realize, let's do it His way. Let's be careful how we deal with the Word of God. Let's not allow our opinions to come in the way. Let's be careful this next weekend when Denny's here to make sure that we're looking at a man that does what? That preaches the Word and not opinions. Thank you for your time. If you're in need in any way, Zach's already got it, of the invitation. If you're in need of prayers or if you want to become a Christian, we didn't talk about that, but if you've studied and understand what you need to do. But let's seriously look into our lives and realize, you know, that sometimes we make excuses for our own actions. Let's not get into I thinks. Let's follow after God's Word. I invite you to come forward if you need to as we stand and sing.